My name is Jane Waldron Banning. I was born in Painesville, Ohio, on Lake Erie, on April 29, 1938. My father was an Episcopal priest, and we went where a church wanted him. And so we went from Painesville, Ohio, to Pittsburgh, and we lived there for years until 1960. No, not 1960. 1955, I think it was somewhere around. And then Papa Kent, my father, accepted a position at a church in Mount Vernon, New York, and that's in the suburbs of New York City. And I was in college when my father moved to New York.
My grandmother is 74 years old. She can recall a time when black students and white students couldn't sit in the same classroom. She was raised in the 1940s and 50s, a time when racial divides in the United States were finally beginning to break.
But it was very segregated.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about that?
What can I tell you? Well, it was a little different for me than it was for other people because my father and my mother were very active in civil rights, you know, long before it was the thing to do. So we had there, I think there were maybe two black kids in my school.
How many kids in your school?
There weren't that many. There were only 42 in my class.
That's still not that many.
But still, there should have been more. They lived in this one area that was under the Avalon Bridge, and most of them went to school in Ben Avon, but there was very little integration with us. But my mother and father insisted that if we were going to have the Home Avenue gang, the kids from under the bridge could come too. So Lloyd Palm was one of my favorite people in the whole world. And he always came up, and he played softball with us and played our games with us. But Dad was, what did he do? He was the first person to take a black person on a bus in Pittsburgh. And he took black people into restaurants where they weren't supposed to be, and he took them in anyway. And my mother and dad never, ever believed that there was any difference in people just because of the color of their skin. And that's the way we were raised. And, of course, it was right.
She had a housekeeper, a black woman named Hallie. My grandmother has fond memories of Hallie, and it was through Hallie that she first encountered the racial divide.
But I'll tell you, Hallie was a big influence on us.
Was Hallie black?
Oh, yes, she was, uh-huh. And we never saw her as a black person. I couldn't believe it the first time I went with Dad when he drove Hallie home, and I saw where she lived. And I just assumed she lived in an area like I did, which was a very poor neighborhood. It's really sad to see. But that's where she lived.
My grandmother remembers playing with her friends from her picturesque suburban neighborhood in the summer. She has very fond memories of these days, but there was one thing that stuck out to her.
I'll tell you, it was when Lloyd Palm started coming to play softball with us. And I saw, not everybody in our neighborhood was accepting of him. And there was one family, a father and mother, very, very great, big races. And when Lloyd came up, their children had to go in the house.
Wow.
Now, see, the Bains lived across the street from us, were Jewish. So that kind of helped to make it easier for the transition for Lloyd to come with us. But he's a really neat person. Lloyd, I like you. He was very, very funny. And quite an athlete. And all of us, we didn't make problems. It was just this one family.
My grandmother is very involved in the Episcopal Church, and she traveled all over the world and made many friends of all different races.
A lot of women of all different races.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Alice Nolan, who's such a dear friend, and she was dying, and she was in intensive care. And I really wanted to see her, but only family was allowed. So her husband, Ben, said, "You come, I'll get you." So I went to the hospital, and Ben took me to the nurse's desk, and he said, "This is my sister, and she wants to see my wife." And they let me see her. And I'm so white, and Ben was so dark complected. I mean, it was really kind of funny. He said, "Listen, Jane, I have sisters who are as light-skinned as you are." He said, "We're not all the same shade." So that meant a lot to me, and I got to say goodbye to Alice. And I was one of the first women to serve on the vestry of a church. That was the governing body. And the vestry were the ushers on Sunday mornings at church. And so it was my turn to be an usher, and it was a Sunday that the bishop was coming. So I arrived at the church to usher, and one of the men told me, "Oh, Jane, you don't have to usher today. We have found somebody else." He said, "You can go upstairs, and you can serve the tea." Yeah, it really made me mad. But I did it.
You served the tea?
I served the tea.
Because my grandmother was ranked fairly highly in the Episcopal Church, she did a lot of missionary work in several countries and the United States. She told me about her trip to a Native American reservation for a powwow.
And racism isn't just between black and white. It's all the races.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it firsthand, going on Indian reservations, how horrible their life is. It's really just horrible. And that's in this country.
Yeah.
And that's the people. We stole this land from them.
Yeah.
Okay, I was in Minnesota for this conference. And we went to a powwow that was being held in Mankato. And every year this powwow is held. And the Indians congregate there because that is where the largest mass execution of Indians took place. And it happened because the Indians killed Abraham Lincoln's father. And Abraham Lincoln originally wanted 200 Indians executed.
What?
But they brought it down, they bargained with him, so only 32, I think, were executed.
Did these particular Indians have anything to do with his father's death?
I don't think they did. No. This was to show his strength. Don't do that. You don't kill my father. See, that's shocking, isn't it, to think Abraham Lincoln did this?
Yeah, I didn't learn that.
Yeah, I know. And so the Indians were standing in line to be executed. And they were all Christians. Matter of fact, I think they were all Episcopalians. And they were singing this hymn, "Many and great, O Lord, are thy works, da-da-da-da-da-da." And the American soldiers thought that was a war cry. So they sped up the execution and got over it in a big hurry. But they come back every year for this powwow. And I couldn't believe it. That these people just go around in this big circle. And men move their feet, da 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 da. They must spend hours doing it. And then all the girls, your age and younger, have on these. They really dressed. They dressed to kill. They dressed like. They look like little aluminum bells all over their dresses. Have you ever seen them?
Yeah.
They all wear them so then you hear them. Process in this powwow. So that was Mankato. Lots and lots and lots of racism in the world.